Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Nartrees Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. The Psychology of Money is a non-fiction personal finance book by Morgan Housel that examines how people actually behave with money, rather than how they should behave in theory. First published in 2020, it is organized as a series of short essays that blend behavioral economics, history, and practical observation. Instead of focusing on investment formulas or technical market analysis, the book argues that financial outcomes are shaped largely by emotion, experience, luck, risk, and temperament. Its purpose is to help readers understand why money decisions often feel irrational and why the most durable financial habits are usually simple, repeatable, and realistic. Housel presents money as a deeply human subject, one tied to fear, status, patience, independence, and the ability to control time. Because of that, the book is less a guide to getting rich quickly than a framework for making better long-term decisions and avoiding common behavioral mistakes. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, financial outcomes are driven more by behavior than by technical knowledge. A central claim of the book is that managing money well depends less on intelligence or formal financial knowledge than on behavior. Housel argues that people do not make financial decisions in a vacuum. They make them under pressure, influenced by ego, pride, fear, social comparison, and personal history. That distinction matters because many financial mistakes are not caused by lack of information, but by knowing the right thing and failing to follow through. The book therefore treats money management as a discipline of self-control and habit, rather than a math problem. This reframing is important because it explains why simple advice such as saving consistently, avoiding unnecessary debt, and staying invested can be difficult to execute. Housel also suggests that financial education often overestimates rationality and underestimates emotion. Readers are pushed to evaluate not only what strategy is optimal on paper, but whether they can realistically live with it over time. In that sense, behavior is not a side issue in the book. It is the main subject. Secondly, personal experience shapes money beliefs and makes universal advice unreliable. The book repeatedly emphasizes that people form financial beliefs from narrow slices of experience. Someone who has lived through inflation, unemployment, or a market crash will interpret risk differently from someone whose adult life has mostly seen economic growth. Housel uses this idea to explain why intelligent people often disagree about money without either side being foolish. Their views are rooted in different emotional memories, not just different data. This is one of the book's most useful insights because it discourages judgment and encourages context. It also explains why broad financial rules can fail when they ignore the reader's background, temperament, and life stage. Housel does not reject advice altogether, but he suggests that advice becomes more effective when it is adapted to individual psychology. The practical implication is that readers should be cautious about importing someone else's financial template as if it were universally valid. The book favors self-awareness over imitation, because a plan only works if it matches the person expected to follow it. Thirdly, luck, risk, and uncertainty matter as much as effort and skill. Another major theme is that financial success is never fully controllable. Housel stresses the role of luck and risk in shaping outcomes, often in ways that are invisible when people look backward and tell tidy stories about winners and losers. Two people can make similar choices and end up in very different places because one benefited from favorable timing, while the other was exposed to an unlucky event. This argument is important because it tempers both arrogance and bitterness. Success is not always proof of superior judgment, and failure is not always proof of poor character. The book encourages readers to think probabilistically rather than deterministically, which leads to more humility in investing and in judging others. Recognizing uncertainty also changes how one plans. Instead of assuming the future will resemble the past, Housel recommends preparing for surprise. That means avoiding brittle plans, resisting overconfidence, and leaving margin for unexpected setbacks. The point is not to eliminate uncertainty, which is impossible, but to build financial habits that can survive it. Fourthly, wealth is different from looking rich, and the difference changes your goals. Housel draws a sharp distinction between being rich and being wealthy. Richness, in his framing, is often visible cars, houses, status symbols, and public signs of success. Wealth, by contrast, is what remains hidden and what gives you freedom, assets, savings, optionality, and the ability to control your time. This distinction matters because many people chase visible wealth signals that actually reduce financial flexibility. The book argues that the desire to appear successful can lead to spending patterns that impress others while making life more fragile. By separating wealth from display, Housel redefines what financial progress should mean. Instead of asking how much one can show, he asks how much one can preserve and how much independence that preservation creates. The practical value of this idea is that it shifts attention away from status competition and toward resilience, in a genre often obsessed with accumulation. The book stands out for arguing that the real benefit of money is not consumption but choice, especially the choice over how to spend time. Lastly, sustainable financial plans are reasonable, resilient, and built for long-term compounding. The book favors what Housel calls reasonable financial behavior over purely rational behavior. A rational plan may maximize returns in theory, but if it causes anxiety, overreaction, or burnout, it is unlikely to survive real life. A reasonable plan is one a person can actually keep following through market swings and changing circumstances. This leads to several connected lessons: save consistently, invest patiently, allow compounding to work over long periods, and keep room for error. Housel treats compounding as one of the most powerful forces in finance, but he also makes clear that compounding rewards patience more than brilliance. That is why the book values endurance, moderation, and flexibility. It is not enough to make good decisions once. The challenge is to avoid the mistakes that interrupt long-term growth. This perspective is especially useful for readers tempted by optimization, market timing, or overly complex strategies. The deeper lesson is that lasting wealth usually comes from a plan that can withstand human imperfection. In conclusion, The Psychology of Money is best suited for readers who want a serious, readable account of personal finance that goes beyond budgeting tips and investment mechanics. Beginners will find it accessible, while more experienced investors may appreciate its behavioral insight and its challenge to overconfidence. Its main value lies in helping readers understand why people make poor financial decisions, even when they know better, and how to build habits that are durable under pressure. The book is also useful for anyone interested in behavioral economics, decision-making, or the social meaning of wealth, because it links money to status, identity, uncertainty, and time. What makes it stand out from many books in the same category is its refusal to present finance as a purely technical field. Instead, it treats money as an arena of psychology and lived experience that makes its lessons memorable, broadly applicable, and realistic. Rather than promising a formula for getting rich, it offers a framework for staying calm, staying flexible, and making better long-term choices. If you would like to support Morgan Housel, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.